zona vio amena ujana mukajuyo avina mujadu manocho yo avina mujanu gago. Everything else can wait. Give me your heart. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your heart. Everything else can go away. Oh, give me your heart. I hope I'm not too late. Macho na moyo diano.
Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fill this place. Yanu kabani amasu. Fire. Let your glory go like fire. Echo, start.
Here. Another day to bring forth new realities, fresh dimensions, new seasons of your destinies. Another time to labor on the things of the Spirit until we apprehend, until we handle tokens. Came to look for you, not man. Show me your face tonight. Show me your hand tonight. It is you I came to seek. I have not come to seek any man. So hide not your face from me. Hallelujah. 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 Wherever you are, you may be seated. God bless you. Continue to tell the story for years and years to come. I just want to make an introduction to what God will be teaching us tonight, and I know that by His power, He will culminate our experience here in His presence. When you study the book of Revelations and you deliberately consider the style and also the emphasis in the first three chapters of the book of Revelations, you will realize that it began first by declaring that this is the revelation of Jesus, which was given to his servant John. It is the revelation of Jesus, but it was handed, it was revealed unto his servant John. Amen. Part of the details unveiled to that elder, John, was that Jesus began to do an appraisal of his church. And so there was a need to check the spiritual veracity of the seven churches. And so you find Jesus doing a SWOT analysis. He mentioned areas of their strength, areas of their weaknesses, places where they should improve, and places where they are worthy of commendation. And so, for each church, he was able to identify the area where Satan has occasioned a stumbling block. He was also able to identify the areas where they have made progress. And so, it is not so far-fetched that in our time and in our generation, that Satan also have customized apron across different regions and zones, how he deploy his attack against the move of God in different locations. And so if you begin to look at the various expressions of the church in different ecosystems, so when we look carefully at the Southeast, like I have been echoing for a while now, because it is an alarm that must be sounded. The church in the Southeast is currently being plagued, being attacked by a strong wave of darkness called deception. There are different ways Satan projects his attack against the work of God and the mandate of God's dealings with men, but for the Southeast currently is deception. He has occasioned a stumbling block against the generation, so much so that the average young man in the Southeast is reverting back now to idol and traditional worship. What they call Christianity now in the streets of the Southeast is the white man religion. Meanwhile, it took the labor of many years to uninstall the captivity that traditional worship and idolatry kept on a generation for long. When elders close their eyes in death after transiting time into the great beyond, was not long, the wells that they dug was unfilled by Philistines. And so, if you are not careful, when you pass by the southeast, if nothing is done to checkmate the current affront of darkness, riding through that space like an inferno, like a tornado, if nothing is done to resist it, if you pass through that land in some years to come, you will not believe some names once lived in those regions. Because another generation will emerge that God will be a joke in their eye. And they are becoming fathers. They too will raise children. They will instruct another generation to not know the Lord and to question everything that pertains to the memory of the God of Israel. When you come to the north, and this is where we have found expression from day one, the affront of Satan against the church in the north is persecution, is resistance, hostility, to make the space as hostile as possible, to make it as unbearable as possible. When you venture to the south, you will find out that what they have there is pleasure, wantonness. And so the bane of the church of the south is materialism. God for them is to what extent you can increase your substance. And so the whole thing that defines the real attack in that other space is materialism. If Satan wants to destroy you in the south, he will not persecute you. He will give you more rest. It is to what degree you have access to rest, you may forget your God there. But today God has a message for us. Jeremiah chapter 6 from verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 6 from verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 6 from verse 13 is projected. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Maybe we'll do it one more time. 1, 2, go. Does this sound like the current state of the church as in a whole, the attack that has buffeted the church? Does this sound like the current topic that is being passed across from one platform to another? People becoming very conscious of the level of materialism that has invaded the holy altar? Does this sound like the current state of the church, showing you to what extent people can go to defraud innocent, unsuspecting believers? See what the scripture says. It says, from the least to the greatest, none was left in this particular generalization. It says, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. Next verse. Follow me carefully. The journey tonight will liberate your soul. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Does this sound like what is going on? Do you know how sin is pampered now? As long as offering and tithe continue to pour in, as long as seed and donation continue to come, the unrighteous man is on his express way to hell. And it is not a burden to the priest. It is not a burden to the preacher. The prophet has no pain about the eternal destination of these ones, as long as tokens can become. The lady can go and sleep around as long as she came on Sunday and gave a tithe and say there is a God that is showing favor. Is that favor? He says, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. But God says, this is so injurious that it can take their life. But they pamper their wound as though it's not a serious case. See what he says. Peace, they say, when there is no peace. Have they told you it is well with you? Say, why are you looking so troubled? Go. Your sins are forgiven. Is it real? Meanwhile, there is no time. The believer ought to be more alert than now. Because Satan is working overtime. we have entered the end of the end. So every spirit now is deployed to make sure that they render a great havoc against the agenda of God in every territory. I began this teaching this night by showing you that across different zones, Satan has a peculiar agenda that he is affronting. You know what amazes me? If you think that the things I'm about to share with you tonight is not so important. In fact, let me even tell you, these are the current revelatory position of God's body, the state of his church. See, somebody comes up, makes it obviously clear, didn't conceal anything, did not pretend, made statements that are genuinely and outrightly extra-biblical. Talks about powers that he has. His church is full with people still. So whenever my eye ever stumble upon those contents, the only thing that my attention is drawn to is the seats where people are filled and who are sitting down and they are feeling blessed. That's where I knew that followers will not be the challenge. If you carry a stick now and you're hitting it on the ground like this and you are saying there's result, after 2 weeks you will see people around you saying, "We believe this thing." Followers will not be the challenge. Do you know why such a practice can fly? It's because the space has already been civilized. There are colonizers that have gone ahead of that man. They have made sure traditional practices have become a norm. So any day anybody show up talking about powers and how there are different types of powers that can be used for different things, it is equivalent to when a man goes and consults with a herbalist and they told you the herbalist is calling the different powers he has. So it is normal. Now, they are looking for a meeting point where traditional worship and Christianity can marry themselves and hug. It has been embraced. That thing you see there is the state of the streets in that region. That was what the average Christian who is without fire, that is who he is. He embraced many things that are extra-biblical. And he rejects many things about God because he's not ready to go down that path. I repeat it again. If nothing is done, the legacies of many a man who labor in those fields, it will be blotted out in a few years to come. You will hear of the backwardness that will affront Christianity in those places. Today is a summon. It's a summon. All my brothers, the brethren who have found their habitation and manifestation in such a place, God is calling you to quickly rise up and speak up and begin to do the work of an evangelist. Because Satan is working over time and there are ambassadors being deployed to push those messages. Please keep my scripture. Let's take a journey in the spirit tonight. He says, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Very quickly, let's proceed. And are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. Next verse, quickly. This is what the Lord now says. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. In this midst of this drama going on, in the midst of this commotion and confusion, it's called a crossroad. A crossroad is a point in time where there are different directions calling your attention. He says, from this point of confusion, don't take any step. Ask for where the ancient followed. Because from now, you cannot be creative again. Certain spirits have been so inspired that they have generated alternative routes. There are different paths now. If you are talking about prosperity, for those who thought prosperity can be a route to draw many onto righteousness, and so they generated a gospel of prosperity as a tool, genuinely from their heart, They just wanted to bless God's people and also use that as a base to draw many into kingdom. They have discovered now that a spirit have used that to be a route, leading many towards Mammon, but not Jesus. Because what they came for was their own gain. So they never needed Jesus. Jesus is a means to an end. The real thing they are looking for is money. To those who are crowding deliverance centers, they are not looking for Jesus. They want a particular situation to be dealt with. So if a person is probably sick and the doctor told him that this is your sickness, there is nothing physical we can do about it, you know what the next resolve is to find solution from the world of spirit. It is in such a time you will see that every boundary of consecration, a man will violate it because he is desperate for a solution. Anywhere this solution can be found, onward we go. From that kind of place, there will be other parts. You know, what Satan does is that he does not want to push Jesus totally out of the script. He wants to mix with Jesus. The plan is not to remove Jesus. The plan is to add to Jesus. Stand in the crossroad. Now that we don't know what is right, what is real, who is fake, who is real, everything is now suspicious. Somebody you are following for 30 years, on a particular day you wake up one day and found out he has been bowing to a strange idol all along. Everybody who have been following him, who call him Papa, where are they all going to now? Somebody taught you something while he was teaching. There was so much veracity, so much passion. And he wakes up after 40 years and say, that thing I thought 40 years ago was a lie. How about all the people who died inside that your life? How can somebody carry people on a path and become a particular advocate for that path, pushes it with passion, wake up one day casually without apology and say, I think I have a clearer light on this matter. A clearer light? You have misled a generation. You have misled a people. You begin first. This is why. Let me say something. As long as you are an oracle of the spirit, there is nothing like a new truth. You see this Bible, Ba? If what you are teaching is the Bible, after 80 years, that thing you said is still true. The moment you begin to delve into philosophies, into your own personal understanding, this is where the error is. Where people say, the Spirit told me, not the Bible said. The moment we begin to hear these things, the Spirit told me. Or guys, it's not only you the Spirit talks to. A time will come when, we need to be very careful. These are end times. These are end times. Tomorrow, he shows up again and says, the Holy Spirit rebuked me while I was sleeping yesterday and said what I said. Meanwhile, a great deal of people have followed them, followed that path, and they have gone to find themselves in condemnation. Are you getting blessed? Stand up. The crossroad. Hi. There's no better word to describe our generation. The crossroad. Lord, we have read in the stories, we have seen in the scriptures that you are a God of signs and wonders. We have seen that you are an all-sufficient God. We have seen your mighty works in the times of old. Where have those dimensions gone to? Stand at the crossroad. Don't be creative. Don't do any. My father in the law said, that is a path. From the crossroad, you will know God for yourself. It is at the crossroad, you will be appraised by two questions. The first is, who do men say that I am? There you will now start giving the opinion of the different ruling philosophy of your generation. Then you will put another question here. Who do you say that I am? It says, ask. Aye, Jesus. You know what happens? When the children came together, after the first temple was demolished, the children came together and built the second temple, and they were jubilating. They were celebrating. The elders among them, when they came and saw what the children were celebrating, they began to cry. When they were crying, the children did not know why elders were crying. They said, if you see the glory of the former temple, you will know why what you are celebrating today is a joke. The only consolation God had for such a generation was that He promised them that the glory of the later house. Do you know the consolation? Tell me now. Beyond the gold deckings, beyond the ivories, beyond the woods, beyond every building material used to make this temple magnificent, the real glory of the temple was the Shekinah presence that dwells inside it. So it was God's presence that was the glory. This is the mystery that God even made available to us, that Christ in you, being the temple of the Holy Ghost, is the hope of glory. The glory is Jesus now being inside you. And so when God says the glory of the later house, He is saying there is a kind of presence that old temple did not accommodate. There is a kind of presence that I did not release to the old temple, but I will make it available to anybody that becomes part of this new generation temples. And the temple we speak about is not a building built with bricks and clay. It is the bodies of men and women, because our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Please tell somebody, carry glory. Carry glory. Tell somebody, carry glory. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead and recharge yourself in 2 minutes. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I know who I am. I am not small. I am not disadvantaged. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I see the temples of God. I see cities set upon a hill. I see people that cannot be hidden. I am the temple of God. Shaka pako pera teles, lekete bala kapa kateli, sheta tata 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 pakatai, mam pa 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 katai, elekete pera kete bala kopai, hey. For God, if you must become an oracle of His counsel, there are temptations you must overcome. We are not talking about good and bad. We are talking about deception, distractions. See, listen. I hope you know every messenger has a message. The moment you run to a people and say, "Thus says the Lord," and then nothing, you don't remember what they sent you to do. That whole arrangement is a waste of time. Meanwhile, if you forget what he said, it's better you are quiet than to fabricate something. The moment you begin to be creative about the utterances of God, that becomes your first Waterloo. Because the moment you are creative about anything, Satan has the capacity to puncture those things that are not better from eternity. You know how many times he has attempted to buffet my soul? Sometimes few minutes to the meeting, somebody will call me. Do you have time? I say, no time, please. I have meeting. Okay, I just want to tell you. See, blah, 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 blah. That. See what this person said. I was in this church the other day. See what this pastor said about you. Do you know what they wanted? They want to change my sermon. It's my message. The moment you now stand on the holy altar and you are busy replying things that you heard, you have lost your message already. This is why the criteria for glory is death. Have you pushed a dead man before? Touch it like this. Was there any response? This stand in the crossroad. When you have found out now that we don't know what is happening anymore, it says, ask for the ancient path. You know what it meant by ancient path? It is the path that the patriarch followed. It is the path that the patriarchs who have struck eternal dynasties with God, that was the path they journeyed. Is it? Ask for that same path. By the time you find it, don't stop at only hearing. It says, walk in it. Walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. See the response of a rebellious generation. But you said, we will not walk in it. Let me show you the last verse so that you will see the emphasis. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. My voice tonight is the sound of a trumpet. This is why my message has never shifted from this same emphasis. I am trumpeting a reality to a generation. I am waking an army that are redundant. I am stirring a people up to wake up to their manifestations. And now that we can discern the movement of an alien army, I am waking the army of the Lord up quickly. Awake! There is a reckless cloud of darkness advancing your territory. If you don't wake up quickly, you will be amazed. The heritage of many generations will be lost in your hand. While you are alive, you would have lost the wells of the ancestors. Philistines will stand fill the wells, and the legacies of many generations will be lost. For our own space is persecution, and a new wave is coming upon us. But people must die. They must die to themselves. They must die to their appetite. They must die to their agenda. So that they can, from their heart, say, thy kingdom come. Through their life, only God's purpose can now be advanced. Please, I need you to pray a prayer wherever you are. Holy Ghost, walk on my heart. Walk on my heart. Walk on my heart. Until only your will prevails. Thank you. Listen. Please, you may be seated. The purpose for a church is not a convergence that is inspired to minister to people's desire. It is a convergence inspired by God to cast His desire on people. If you come to church to look for the things you have been looking for since Monday to Friday, then on Sunday that is consecrated for God, you still made it about your own pursuit. The aim of our gathering has been defeated. Because from Monday to Friday, you have been interacting with your secular job or your business or whatever legitimate thing you do to earn a living. And you were interacting with Mammon. When we come to the presence, it is to cast eternity upon our gaze, so that the impact of the pursuit of wealth does not have a total rule over our life. So when we meet in God's presence, we cast our gaze on eternal things. So when we come and it's about, I prophesy car, prophesy house, do this, receive that. That is what you have been looking for since Friday till Monday. Can somebody say, Lord, open my eyes? Come on, come on. You see, I know why your response was low. It was you guys that they said we will not walk in it. Jude chapter 1 from verse 3. Jude chapter 1 from verse 3. Anas, Epetakai. Jude chapter 1 from verse 3. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for. Okay, read it alone as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. The word faith that they said we should earnestly contend for there is the word pistis. It's a Greek word called pistis. That word faith there means the word pistis in Greek. It means the persuasion, the conviction. The persuasion of the faith. That is, he's telling you that earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. So listen. As at now, it was clear to the elder Jude that something has started to alter the shape of the church, even when they, the early apostles, have not left time yet. So part of their recommendation to the subsequent generation was that when this thing comes to you, your first labor is to contend for the faith which was once delivered. Now, remove that word faith and put, because it's the word pistis, like I said, a Greek word pistis, it means the persuasion, the conviction. So, earnestly contend for the conviction, for the persuasion of the faith as it were in the old. So, let me ask you a question. The convictions and persuasions of Jesus when he did ministry, is that our conviction today? The conviction and persuasion of the early apostles when they did ministry, is that our conviction today? Earnestly contend for the pistis, the conviction, the persuasion, the thing that kept them awake, the real burden that was behind their move. He said, contend for it. The average young man, he interprets ministry as a retirement ground, a place to go and rest and enjoy a very stressless life. I don't blame him. It is the model that the generations before us showed to them. When you see the cars, you see houses, you see people snapping with luxurious cars and expensive wristwatches and keeping their hands so that the camera can catch the face of the watch, so that just in case you don't know what is on that wrist, look at it carefully. People making emphasis in their message. You know how much is this shoe? If I was doing a proper teaching on this matter, I would have showed you how Apostle Paul categorized a kind of Christianity that want to use your abundance of prosperity as a sign that you are in alignment with God. I will show you what Apostle Paul called it. If I keep two brothers now, one of them doing very well, so much wealth at his disposal, and another one just living, you know, from hand to mouth. The average heart in our generation has been mentored, has been taught to believe that the one that has wealth is more spiritual than the one that is without. That there is something about God that he understands. You know what we call it? Result. What is the result of Stephen? Tell me. What is the result of Joan of Arc? Her result was to be burnt alive on a stake. That was her result. What is the result of John Huss? Because John Huss was burnt alive on the stake. God did not even show up. No deliverance. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I know you don't like the gospel I'm trying to preach to you. You have been bewitched. You have been deceived. In fact, a great deal of us entered here because you came, you planned to come and use God as usual. A day will come when we must tell ourselves the truth. You see, all this self-seeking. Everything is me, myself, and I. It's about my bank account, my job, my marriage, Lord, my children, all your prayer. When was the last time you dedicated 2 hours and nothing in your prayer was about you? It was about kingdom advancement. It was about souls that were under the bondage of darkness. Because if no man pray, their salvation cannot be occasioned. Prayer must go ahead so that the veil can be torn. Using the resource of prayer, then if the veil is torn, they can now understand the glorious gospel. Without that veil being torn, you can preach from today to tomorrow. They can never understand it. Because the things of the spirit, they are foolishness to the carnal mind. So the people who really won the souls are those who went on their knee and interceded for the souls. Hi. When did you ever pray for that your brother that is not born again? When did you pray for that your sister? You are busy calling them every morning to advise them and say, this thing you are doing, you know, it's not good. Okay, you cannot advise a person out of spiritual captivity. It will take beyond mental interaction to break the chain from their life. You are not praying for them. You want to go and use advice and free them from the cord of darkness. Somebody is a prisoner of lust and you think you can advise him out of captivity. If you are not ready to burn the hours in prayer, guess what? It is only one picture in your front. Your senior brother's picture. That's where all this tonguing is going to. No prayer points, no prayer request. Only one soul. Lord, occasion his salvation until he repents. No peace for him. Suddenly that your brother is somewhere in Lagos State. He's walking around in Lagos State on his way to the office. From nowhere, an evangelist will show up and say, you, that brother there, you know what is going on? Somebody has bought. Somebody's prayer has occasioned his salvation. Why do you think something can happen? How do you think deliverance can come when nobody prayed? Lord, let me be that man that prayed. Let me be that one that prayed. Let me be that one that prayed. So that if Jesus wants to enter Kaduna State, if Jesus wants to save, men must pray. Our prayers, they are not emotional outbursts. Our prayers are legitimizing the interactions of spirits in our space. The heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. Who told you there can be any advancement? Who told you there can be any progress if prayer does not go ahead of it? Listen, everything rises and falls on the wings of prayer. Prayer is the foundation and the roofing of everything. Family, start with prayer. Roof it with prayer. Business, start with prayer. Roof it with prayer. Brother, you want to get married? Start with prayer. It is the foundation and the roofing of everything. Everything you can think of. Some of you don't know what you are doing to yourself. This your quietness, this your mouth that is closed, that you are not speaking into your own destiny. You don't know what you are doing to yourself. You are just quiet. Let me share the rule. It's called the rule of engagement. Rule of engagement. No spirit, I repeat, no spirit can interfere in the world of men without men calling it into the space. There is a law that prohibits them from entering the three-dimensional world at free cost. So, for a spirit to enter the three-dimensional world, it must be by demand. It must be by request. This is the law of the altar I'm showing you. Sometimes, that life of sin that Satan is drawing you into, the reason for that sin is not even about what you are doing at the moment. The reason for the sin is to legitimize the entrance of a spirit. Because your sin is equivalent to an altar. When, hi, Jesus. See, if you fornicate today, you fornicate tomorrow, you fornicate the day after tomorrow. Maybe the first day you say it's a mistake, so you cried and say, forgive me, Lord Jesus, forgive me, have mercy. Then you fasted for 3 days. You found ventilation in your soul. You went back and fell into the sin. Then you fell again. When you carry out a particular action regularly for a while, that space where that action is being carried out, and this by space, I mean both the human body that accommodated it, becomes an attraction to the spirit that thing is actually advancing its course. You sleep around, fornicate, go into adultery. And you think you are hiding it. You are hiding. Nobody is seeing you. You deleted all the message. Deleted the interaction. You came home, your wife did not know. So you slept on the bed like this and put your hand like this and think you are a sharp man. What you didn't know is that you have built an altar of lust for your family. That altar that your lifestyle. Because, prayer is an action. As you were carrying out that action in prayer, spiritually, you have built an altar of prayer. Now, this is how every action erects an altar for the spirit that action is gratifying. So when you fornicate, you summon the spirit of lust into your space. When principal and spiritual collisions happen, the spirit will become vocal and say, I was minding my business, I was on my own. He was the one that invited me. Have you ever heard spirits become vocal during deliverance? Where they begin to claim rights as regarding why they are there. It's because they entered legitimately. The first thing they did was to secure the right papers before they came. They refused to show up by haste. They first secure legitimate documentation. Then they showed up. So that any day, authority say, leave. What the Spirit will first do is that, the first say, this is my house. In 1993, I was minding my business. I'm trying to tell you that you can become a high place. A time will come. That fornication you used to do and hide, a time will come. It will become a high place. Now there will be an incense of fornicative atmosphere around you. Lust will ride you like a horse. In that day, even if you wear turtleneck, even if you dress with a printing skirt, even if your skirt is packing sand on the ground, when people look at you, it's an energy of lust. Every man who comes around you will want to sleep with you. Because beyond the physical sign, there are spiritual energies that have been, hey, this is what Satan wants to achieve. Meanwhile, there are people alive with me and you at the moment. When they enter a place, they don't know why. They carry an aura of shame. There are people suspect them anywhere they go, and they have not done anything to deserve that kind of treatment. If something gets missing in this hall now, there are people sitting here that everybody's mind will say, make sure this one does not go out first. And most of the times, they are innocent. What the devil has succeeded to do is that he's trying to make a high place out of you. So that it is through you now men are summoned into worship. As you move like this, as you are moving, and there is a seductive air around you, it means you have become an altar, calling men to come and worship on the altar of fornication. Every street you pass, you are a summon for worship. Because of you, filthy thoughts will pass through the heart of more than 1,000 young men every day. You have become an apostle of darkness. There is spiritual growth in sin too. Satan does not want you to remain in a level of sin forever. He wants to increase the dose with time. You will grow in sin until you become a high place. You will become a summon to draw many into condemnation. There are high places everywhere you go to. The title of my discourse tonight is The Ancient Path. The Ancient Path. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. Lord, I don't know what is going on in my generation. I don't know what is happening at the moment, but please, show me the path that the elders walked. Show me the path that the ancient threaded. Show me how they could strike very intimate relationship with you. Let's read verse 4 before we proceed very quickly. I'm trying to rush it now. Verse 4. Verse 4. One, two, three, go. Do you now know why they said you should earnestly contend for the faith? Earnestly contend for the pistis, the convictions, the motivations of the ancients. Earnestly contend for the beliefs of the ancients. Because certain men crept into our midst unawares. And this is the havoc they have wrought.
We want to follow footsteps of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. Show us the ancient path.
lead us along the eternal highways. We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We want to recognize.
Is this your prayer?
Show us the ancient path. Would you lead us along eternal highways? We want to follow. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I have and all I own. Hey, search me through and through till my heart becomes a home for you. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I have and all I know. Search me through and through till my heart becomes a home for you. Till my heart becomes a home.
Please take a minute anywhere you are. Take a minute and tell the Lord to circumcise your heart. Lord, my motive, my emphasis, my pursuit, my goal, if it is not you, if it is not you, please dethrone anything that has taken your place in my life. Pull it down.
Laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose. You thought of me. You are crucified, laid behind the stone. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. Now you took the fall. You thought of me.
Listen. This is what Satan is scared of. This is what Satan is truly scared of. A plane where your heart totally pants for God. That is all. If he can get your heart distracted, he is not afraid of you. But any man that loves Jesus, any man whose heart genuinely loves, see what God summarized all commandments into. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. You see, the only thing is love. If you love God, you overcome temptation. Because in the day of temptation, it is the person you love the most that you obey. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do? You know what he told Peter? He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. What he was telling Peter was that if truly love was in place, you will find yourself naturally keeping my commandment. Because you will always gravitate towards the person you love. You know what love does? Love makes hard things look simple. Because of love, some brothers trekked. They trekked for several streets just to go and stand in the front of the gate of a damsel. It's love. Rain beat some of us because of love. Aye, those days. I wish I can love the Lord like that. I wish my heart can pant after Him like that. I wish you can love God the way you have loved your fellow men. You see how you were restless because somebody did not call you? Eh? You were angry because they didn't call you, right? Can you be that disturbed because you have not prayed? You have not heard from God. As at that level, it is no longer an agreement. It's a relationship. A relationship. The reason why I'm sharing what I'm sharing is because what the ancients had with God was not agreement. It was relationship. Friendship. Our generation, what we have is agreement. Do your part, I do my part. That's how Gentiles relate with their God. A Gentile don't want to know his God. He only comes with his object of sacrifice and wait for the God to do his own part. But the ancient path that they referred us to ask about and walk in it, everybody who journeyed that path is a path for relationship, is a path for lovers, is a path for friendship. In Acts chapter 13 verse 22, God called David a man after my own heart. It was a heart matter for God. In Exodus chapter 33 from verse 11 to 16, God spake face to face to Moses as a man who speaks to his friend. And God called Moses the meekest man on earth. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8, and I want everybody to read with me, Isaiah 41 verse 8, God called Abraham my friend. God called Abraham my friend. Let's read together, everybody. One, two, please, as loud as you can. One, two, go. Maybe you do it one more time. One, two, go. Abraham, my friend. How? Creator calling creature his friend. This shows you what he really wanted from man. His fellowship, friendship, relationship. You have become transactional with God. Your own is transaction. You run to church and say, they beat me, but you know how you go to bank and complain that you were debited, but the money did not, the transaction was not successful, but they removed money. Eh? You come and say, I paid my tithe, I fasted, I went for evangelism. And you didn't know that you are doing all these things with the wrong motive. Somebody say, once I win a soul, prosperity will just bust open. I don't want to say the thing I would have said on that matter. If you don't close that your brown Bible, say, once I win like 5 souls, I'll sign out of poverty forever. I don't know who taught you that one. I don't know who told you that God will do something if you do something. I don't know who taught you that why we win souls is so that we can now live comfortable here on earth. I will show you many people who are part of the cloud of witnesses that the price for winning soul was death for them. For winning a soul is that they kill them. I, at some point in my teaching, you will be glad you came here tonight. Gradually, the premise of our interaction with God has degenerated from friendship into agreement. Gradually, the premise of our interaction with God has degenerated from friendship into agreement. Now, it's not about knowing God. It's not about being a friend of God. Now, it's about, I do my part, you do your part. Lord, I've played my own role. We are waiting for your response. Let me show you some attributes of friendship, because this is what the elders had, and this is the ancient part. Number one attribute of friendship. For those of us who are writing, very quickly, so that we understand the context of what we are sharing. Friendship is a reciprocal relationship between two people who share a bond of mutual affection. Friendship is a reciprocal relationship between two people who share a bond of mutual affection. I say it one more time. Friendship is a reciprocal relationship between two people who share a bond of mutual affection. If you are writing, take this down quickly. Attributes of friendship. Attributes of friendship. Number one. Please, are we together? Amen. Number one. One, they must know and understand each other. You must know and understand each other. If you claim to be a friend of God, if you claim to be in fraternity with God, if you claim that you love God and you don't know God and you don't understand His burdens, you don't understand His emphasis, you are not a friend of God. Let me even ask you a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So God's agenda is different from your own agenda. God's emphasis is different from your own emphasis. There's no friendship there. Number two, they must like each other. Like each other. Do you love the Lord? Do you just stay and are desirous to please God? You want God to be happy. Is there anything you are doing in your life just to make God smile? They must like each other. Is there anything currently factored into your routine that is just to please God? It has no selfish benefit, just about God. They must like each other. Number three, they must have shared interests. You must have shared interests. What is it about your life that God likes? What is it in your life and your pursuits and your own personal goal that is in compliance with God's own agenda? Do you have any shared interest with God? Does your body and God's body marry each other? Number four, they must want to spend time with each other. Every friendship is sustained by a very healthy communication. They must want to spend time with each other. If you are here and it is only on Sunday you hear the word of God by yourself, you don't have any appetite to open His word and study. You don't have any appetite to pray. The reason why prayer is hard for many people sitting here and many people listening to me across the globe, prayer is hard for you because for you, prayer is a request. For you, prayer is to ask. Prayer is an ATM arrangement. You don't know prayer as fellowship yet, because prayer is the time you talk to your lover. It is during prayer that everything that is heavy on your soul, even if it's Idoma you are speaking in prayer, there is a joy that enters your heart that He understands. It is, you see, you that normally like telling all kinds of people all your secrets and they are always betraying you, stop talking to men and talk to God. God loves to listen. He loves to listen. Lord, see what happened today. See what happened today. I really wished that business would have worked out. If it would have worked out, see what I would have done with the money. I trust you that your will for my life is better than all my own plan. That is how Jesus' prayer with God used to be. Jesus would tell God that, Father, if this thing is possible, I would have preferred that this cup pass from me, Father. No, Allah, let only your own will be done. Does that sound like prayer? When Jesus was talking to God, Jesus didn't say in Jesus' name. Do you understand? It was not too formal. It was like two people talking. Anywhere Jesus was, he starts talking as though God was always keeping his ear near him. There was no special thing he does to say, now I have the Father's attention. Jesus just starts talking to God anyhow. He came before the tomb of Lazarus. The first thing he did, he said, I thank you, Father, because you always hear me. I thank you because you always hear me. He talks to God. Because you know why? Prayer for him was about intimacy, his friendship. The way you and your friend used to gist, that's how your prayer life should be. You gist with the Holy Ghost. Gist with him. Tell him about the guy that is asking you out. Ask him questions. Holy Ghost, do you know him? He said that he is a child of God. Let me check the database of heaven, whether his name is there. It is a sweet thing to be known of the Lord. He says, Abraham, my friend. Do you know what that means? Now, what I'm showing you is the ancient part. For the ancient, what they had was friendship. That's what they had with God. Our own now is contract. Would you want to know God better? And would you want a closer relationship with him? It is in that place where lovers meet. Where you and your lover met. That is the place you don't have to be asking before he does things for you. The way a man and his wife can be together, and the man will just tell the wife that, close your eyes, follow me. And open her eyes, and she saw a brand new car parked outside with a ribbon as a gift. And she is excited. This is what happened only to lovers. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of men what God has reserved for those who love him. Not for contract stuff. Come and say, Lord, remember the house rent. Remember you said in your word. So you are now a lawyer. This is for lovers, those who love God. You know what David said? He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. It's about love. Their heart pants after God. He says, as the deer pants after the waters, so my soul longeth after you. The way a man yearns for a damsel, this is how their own relationship with God was. So if they don't pray for a wife, they wanted to afflict Daniel in Babylon. They didn't know what other means to cause commotion in a man's life. They went to manipulate the king to pass a law that nobody should pray. How can the attack your enemy have against you was that, please, let him not say, let nobody pray to their God for a period. Because they knew that there is somebody's life that is hinged on that intimacy with his God. That if you detach him talking to his God for a while, something will happen to him personally. You have not talked to your God for 1 month and you are okay. Moving around with scriptures in your head. Any day God wants to catch your attention, you quote scripture back to him. You know, it was Solomon, under the influence of the Spirit, while writing the Songs of Solomon, he began to portray the relationship between man and God like the relationship between a man and a maiden. And so there is a very renowned statement he made. He says, I have found the one whom my soul loves. The one that my soul loves. Have you found the one that your soul loves? Have you found it? Oh, Jesus. Oh Jesus, I want to know you more.
wherever you are in the hall tonight, tell him to take you deeper. Deeper than you have ever been before. Your husband can never love you like Jesus. Your children can never love you like Jesus. When you die and draw your last breath, death has broken that marriage. Your husband is not your husband again in eternity. No spirit is any spirit's wife. No spirit is any spirit's husband. No spirit is any spirit's mother. So nothing like Mama, Mama Beatrice, Mama Peter. All of those bonds are broken inside time. So who do you have in eternity? If you don't love the Lord, you are anathema maranatha. Can we come to a place tonight where Jesus stands as your ultimate obsession? He's the zenith of all your pursuits. I just want to love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17a, the Bible says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. In John chapter 15, verse 15, the Bible says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what is his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. This is what God was looking for from you. Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. Henceforth, I call you friends. He says, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I no longer relate with you as servants. I relate with you as my friends. Are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of God? In James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says friendship with this world is enmity with God. The moment you choose the world, the moment you are friends with the world, you don't need to say, I hate God. Once you marry the world, you are already an enemy of God. So choose you this day who you would commit your heart to. But as for me, I will love the Lord. I will love him until my love will transcend time into eternity. I know that when we appear in the great white throne judgment, he will not deny me because we were lovers inside time. Everything will fail. Money will fail. Resources will fail. Properties will fail. You will leave it all behind. Marriage will be broken by death. Children will no longer be your own when you die. No spirit will claim any spirit as Mama, this person, or this is my son. So every other achievement will be broken by death. The only thing that can follow you into eternity are the eternal decisions you can make, and it's those who love the Lord. He says, if you don't love the Lord, you are anathema maranatha. Anathema maranatha means you have been weighed and you have been kept waiting for judgment. It means your matter has been concluded. You don't love the Lord, so they reserve you for judgment. Continue doing what you are doing. Don't worry. We know these ones. They don't love the Lord. Their heart constantly pulsates for vanity. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Tonight, I would like to show you
Just a summary of how the apostles died. Every single one of the people Jesus called my friend. The people he said, henceforth, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Matthew was killed in Ethiopia by the sword. This is how a friend of Jesus died. Please. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt. He was dragged by horses until he became pieces. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the person Jesus called my friend. They tied him with rope and dragged him by horses until all his body became pieces. Luke was hanged in Greece. They hung him. You know the way a person hangs himself to commit suicide? They hung him in Greece. That's a friend of Jesus. I'm calling all the disciples, the people that... You see, John faced martyrdom. They casted him into a boiling cauldron of oil. And they found out that because of the revelations that he was going to receive, Jesus didn't want him to see death. So they casted him into the island of Patmos so that wild animals can eat him. This is how the people who follow Jesus, this is their path. Peter was crucified. And upon the point of crucifixion, he pleaded with the people that he does not deserve to die as his master died. That if it's possible, let them turn him upside down. Do you know what it means to be going through the pain of crucifixion? That's number one. Number two, to now invert you. So that let it not be heard that another Christian was, they will now mistake him for the one. He said, let him be upside down. This is how friends, that it's only friends that can do this one. Only friends. Only friends. Not contract staff. A contract staff will run away at the slightest sign of opposition. They will escape. Was it not Agabus? Was it not Agabus that carried the mantle of Paul and said, the man that owns this mantle, he goeth to Jerusalem to die. If he enters Jerusalem, he will die. Paul heard Agabus and said, I go to Jerusalem bound in the spirit. It was Paul that says, I have run the race. I have fought my fight. These men embraced death before death came. So when death appeared, it was not a threat to them. They too can say, for me to live is Christ. But if I die because of him, it's gain. James was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple, over 100 feet tall. When they threw him from the pinnacle and he fell down and dislocated bones and was in pain, the people came down and found him still alive. So they used trunks and beat him to death. That's how he died. The people I'm calling their names to you, did you see anybody slept like this and live to a ripe old age and say, ah, thank you, Jesus. What a life I've lived. There is a pain in my heart. Do you remember the calling of Paul? Do you remember? He says, I have chosen you to suffer for me. When was the last time we hear that kind of calling again? I have chosen you to suffer for me. So your calling is to suffer. Jesus is calling people to Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt. Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt. Say it again. Lagos. I was sleeping and I saw a cherub. He gave me an envelope. When I opened it, I saw L-A-G. That's all I saw. Then, you know why? They want you to contribute so that they can use your own utterance to say there was a confirmation. There's a prophet that confirmed it. That me, what concerned me with Lagos in the first place? I was just minding my business, but the word of the Lord came. Now say L-A-G, L-A-G. Could it be Lagos? He will now pretend and say, Lagos, yeah, well, if that's what God is saying, who are we? Meanwhile, in Yobe State, the churches there have been shut down by insecurity. Last time we went there, did you see the state of this? Did you see the state of hostility that was just on the road to go there? I was traveling, they detained me in Maiduguri because the road, they blocked the road after, I think, is it 6 p.m. or 5 p.m.? They will block the road. Because anything that happened from that time, if you go there, you are on your own. Because of the reckless riders of wickedness, Christianity has been marginalized. The Apostle Paul, that you know. Do you know how he died? He was beheaded. He was beaten and beheaded. Did Jesus fail them? This is how lovers die. It's only people who love that can endure these things. You see this path, this life, the journey. We are all headed to eternity, whether you like it or not, whether you try to prolong your life. The journey is leading to eternity. It's only those who love the Lord that will have a superior resurrection. It's only those who lived for Him in this world. Meanwhile, the totality of your life is a handful of breath. You are like the lily of the valley, like the rose. You are bright in the morning, in the evening, you have withered. When I pass the streets of Kaduna and I see the obituaries on different poles, people dying in the midst of their days, 30-something, 40-something, they are dead. Legacies, gotten. Many of them never loved the Lord. Meanwhile, their record in eternity has started to count. And eternity is forever. And this is the gospel that Satan don't want your heart. He says, teach us to number our days, so that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Because the moment